folks and their boats. David Salter boards the robust radio relay vessel for the Sydney to Hobart Yacht Race and enjoys a modern expression of our trawler heritage. JBW, a vessel of substance. Originally published in the December 2018 edition of Afloat magazine and read by Tim Stackpool. It can sometimes be difficult to say with any certainty whether a large motor vessel is a boat, launch, cruiser, yacht, or even a ship. John Winning's twin-screw 70-footer JBW sits in the water with the full majesty of genuine displacement. She is most definitely a yacht. For more than a decade, JBW has been best known as the stalwart radio relay vessel for the Sydney to Hobart race. Thousands of sailors have responded to the position skeds conducted from her saloon by Dave Kellett, the voice of the Sydney to Hobart race, as the fleet fights its way south every year. Yet not many would recognise the yacht out of that context, and even fewer have seen inside this handsome example of Australian craftsmanship. JBW were the initials of John Berry Winning, the current owner's father, who was a keen Sydney Harbour skiff sailor and Commonwealth VJ champion. Sadly, he did not live to see the yacht launched. During the 1990s, the family owned the Woolwich Marina and Boatyard. This provided them with an opportunity to build a substantial vessel to the highest standards without the pressures of a fixed budget or deadline. I decided I wanted a trawler-style hull, something that could go to sea rather than have to worry too much about the weather, Winning says. It was set up for two families, with larger cabins for two sets of parents, and then there's two other cabins so the boys could be in one and the girls in the other. The design was something of a group effort. Initially, the brief was to create a motor yacht similar to Bali High 2, the classic round-bilged 1964 Moreton Bay cruiser designed by Ron White that had also served as a Sydney to Hobart radio vessel. Woolwich shipwright Ian Padrow developed that original idea, and Alf Lean from the Alan Payne studio then drew the lines. Finally, naval architect John Forstman did the calculations and formalised the drawings for approval by the maritime authorities to meet survey standards. True to its place within the East Coast deep-sea trawler tradition, JBW was built outdoors and right side up. Construction began in 1994 and took more than 3 years to complete. Photographs from that period feature the massive frames of laminated Queensland maple standing in place before the addition of 2-inch thick Oregon planking and sturdy spotted gum stringers. The boat was built to last. Winning remembers the project with fondness. We thought it would be nice to build something from scratch. We weren't in a hurry. It took us about 9 months just to get the keel timber sorted. And as its shape emerged, JBW was always destined to be a practical boat, in keeping with the Winning's hands-on approach. I love being involved with the building. I wanted to build the boat around the engine room. Big engine room, two dunnies, and a big steering wheel. At one point, I said it'd probably look better with a funnel. So it's got a funnel, but it only holds the hydraulic tank for the steering. Apart from that, it's only there for the looks. At 70 tons displacement, and with a beam of 6 metres, a sense of true solidity dominates. Externally, her trawler heritage is expressed in the uplifted bow, full-width wheelhouse, and broad stern sections. This is clearly a vessel intended for long-haul work at sea, but with maximum comfort. Hydraulic stabilisers ensure a smooth ride in all but the most violent seas. With a fuel capacity of 8,000 litres, JBW has a cruising range of 2,000 nautical miles at 10 knots. The round trip to Lord Howe Island is easily accomplished without refueling, and she has voyaged to New Zealand twice for the America's Cup regattas. All living areas are fitted out in mahogany, and the cabinet work in this rich deep-toned timber is immaculate. That effort is seen at its most spectacular in the airy main saloon, a spacious area that runs the width of the boat. A large open galley sits forward on the starboard side, while opposite is the nook where the radio team run their skeds during the Sydney Hobart and Gold Coast races. A step up takes you to the traditional wide wheelhouse, where the mahogany theme continues. Set off by a modern helmsman seat that would not look out of place on an RAN frigate, there's a comfortable bench behind the steering position for guests and crew to share in the experience of being on watch and to keep a good lookout. A cleverly hidden deck-level hatch leads directly down a vertical steel ladder to the engine room. With full headroom and space for a proper workbench, this is an operational area to inspire anyone with a fondness for marine engineering. The two long 8-cylinder Gardner diesels sit side by side ahead of their solid couplings and quite short prop shafts. Each engine pushes out 130 kilowatts, about 170 horsepower, at 1200 revolutions per minute, and they've given trouble-free service since they first turned over more than 20 years ago. Two generators placed between the engines provide 240-volt and 24-volt electrical power. Accommodation on the lower deck is divided into a large owner's stateroom aft and three guest room and crew cabins forward. One of the most interesting features in the forward quarters is a narrow vertical space which has been left without lining on both sides of the hull to show the construction method. This close-up view of the frames, stringers and planking underlines the sheer strength of the boat and the meticulous quality of its build. JBW is in survey and operates as a commercial craft completing up to 100 charters every year, but around half of those outings are free of charge as John Winning donates the boat in support of a variety of charities and causes, many of which are connected with sailing. As with any well-considered yacht, there are details throughout the boat that help lend it a unique character. The aft deck of JBW has a pair of bespoke, pedestal-mounted folding tables that allow passage between them when closed, but form a generous dining space when open. There's a storage area in the wheelhouse, in which have been discreetly mounted the 13 plaques that commemorate each Sydney to Hobart race since 2005, for which JBW has been the radio relay vessel. A service provided to the Cruising Yacht Club of Australia by Winning, entirely free of charge. On the foredeck, a modest ship's bell is mounted between two hefty anchor winches. The false funnel boasts a simple red and blue logo that reproduces the World War I colour patch of the Australian 7th Field Artillery Brigade. That design was on the sail when John Winning Sr. bought his first skiff, Yandu. The name, Messenger, in Koori, and the logo have stayed with the family and their boats ever since. John Winning is now retired, but still races both a historic and modern 18-footer every weekend. He's done 5 trips on JBW as the Sydney to Hobart radio vessel, but prefers a more active life on the water. "I'm busy around that time of year sailing. It's 6 days out of your life and I haven't got a spare 6 days. I'm not much good at sitting around." That was Folks and Their Boats, JBW, A Vessel of Substance by David Salter, first published in the December 2018 edition of Afloat magazine and read by Tim Stackpole.